Some of you probably think, where do we get the ideas for what we want to speak on? And this morning, I pulled this from a funeral, because all of a sudden they were reading the Psalm 23, and there was a line in there that they said, and it intrigued me. And so that got me thinking. What did it mean, your rod and your staff, they comfort me? And what does that have to do with comfort when it comes to a rod and a staff? And often, you can translate that rod as like a club is another way of translating that. And so we're going to hopefully see this morning some ideas. And so the whole psalm intrigued me once again. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. If you have your electronic versions, I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard Version. It's the one version I've gotten comfortable with. At one time when I was going through Bible college, part of the requirements were that you had to take Greek class. And since I wasn't the best student of Greek, the NASB sure helped me in that class and being able to follow along when all of a sudden I didn't pick up on words and stuff like that. So if you've got Psalm 23, I've entitled my message this morning, I Shall Not Want. So before we begin, let's just take a moment and then let's just ask the Lord to teach us. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we're thankful for an opportunity we have to look into your word. And so we're praying that you indeed might teach us, that your spirit might move upon our hearts, that you might convict us of areas that need to be convicted on, that you might correct us, that you might discipline us if that is necessary, and that, Heavenly Father, that you might lead us into a deeper relationship with you this morning. For praying it in your name. Amen. If we had to state a favorite psalm, I'm sure most of us would state Psalm 23. We've heard it over and over again. If you've gone to funerals, often they would use this psalm at a funeral. And some would say that's a great comfort psalm. And so often we have memorized it. We've heard it read to us many times. And so he opens up this passage, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this psalm is not the first reference to our Lord being a shepherd. We would have to go back to Genesis 49 and verse 24. And then we could probably go throughout the Word of God and see the portrayal of our Lord as a shepherd and all the ramifications that has for us. I'm not sure if you've ever stopped to think of that as our Lord as a shepherd. And as being a shepherd, what does that all entail? So I want to look at that briefly this morning. So from there, the Word of God presents us the imagery of our Creator God being a shepherd of the sheep. And so one of his names would be Jehovah Rohi, would be one of his names. Our God, our Lord, the shepherd. We know this to be a psalm of David, but it is uncertain when and where he wrote it. It is surmised that it possibly was written while running in the wilderness. And so the psalm opens and ends with the Lord. And so this is the personal name for God that we were introduced to in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush with Moses. The name literally means, I am who I am. I'm not sure if you've ever thought of that in the 2,000 plus references in the Word of God. When he references Lord, that is who he's referring to, the personal name for God. And this is the name that David references here in Psalm 23, because he wants to integrate us and establish the fact that the Lord, he's on a first name basis with the Lord here. And then he's going to go even further than that. Chiefly, it refers to God's timelessness on the one hand and to his self-sufficiency or his aseity on the other hand. That is what is portrayed and meant in that name, our Lord. Self-sufficiency means that God needs nothing. He needs no wisdom from anyone. He has all wisdom in himself. He needs no power. He is all-powerful. He is accountable to no one. He answers only to himself. And so we can see some of that ideas there, Isaiah 45, 9, 12, when God is at work in creating us and establishing us, who do we have the right to speak back to him on what he, in the work that he does. Timelessness means that God is always the same in his eternal traits or attributes. He was like this yesterday, he is like this today, and he will be like this tomorrow. He will be unchanged and unchangeable forever. Malachi 3 and verse 6. God does not change. And so as we look at the Psalm 23 and we see David's relationship to the Lord, his shepherd, that is the same relationship that we can have this morning. And so as we walk through this, look at the different areas where when David says, I shall not want, and then he seeks to lay it out for us and what makes that clear for us. David can make the statement that he does not want because of the person who is the shepherd. During his time fleeing from Saul, David had gained an understanding of who his God is. Through the valleys of his life, he gained a deep understanding of what Paul prayed for in Philippians 3 and verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And so maybe those valleys that David went through were part of the character development of him as he sought to learn how to walk with God. And so it actually got to the place where David was classified or named as a friend of God. His greatest treasure was wrapped up in knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It was personal to Paul, and he sought to plumb the depths of God's person, his character. Often we look and say, well, Paul would be one of those mentors, one of those mountaintop people that we would look up to. And we wonder, well, how did he get to that place? And largely got to that place by spending time with the Lord, by seeking to value the things of the Lord and seeing that as of higher value than anything else. And so David opens up this same with the same desire. Often when it comes to sheep, the flock is mentioned as a collective whole. And so as you look at those references in the Word of God, you will see that the flock is often mentioned as a collective whole. But here David adds a personal possessor. The creator of the universe and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is his shepherd. This is a unique designator for the Lord because being a shepherd was a lowly position. It was usually given to the youngest member of the family and was considered as the lowest of all works. Look at Isaiah 53. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form nor majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. And so here is, we see that our Lord is a shepherd. He took the lowest position, something that was frowned upon. And we all know those jobs. Like, have you ever watched that show called, I think it's called The Dirtiest Jobs? And this gentleman, I forget his name, goes out and he tries to find the dirtiest jobs. Those jobs that probably few others would like to do. And he seeks and he portrays what all goes in. That one time he had to clean out a cement mixer. Every once in a while the cement mixers build up residue on the inside. And so you have to go in there and you got to chip off all that old cement that's dried on the inside. And that was one of the dirtiest jobs that he mentioned there. And so I'm sure if we were to interview the people of David's day, they would say, yeah, this is one of those dirty, disgusting jobs. If there's anything else you can do, go out and find and do that. But our Lord here came as a shepherd. The shepherd had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, and the task of caring for them was unending. They were out there in fair weather and foul, summer and winter. Sheep lack everything. They are the most helpless animals. They are foolish, and many would consider them as the most stupid animals on earth, is one of the designators. Why would our Lord want to come and be a shepherd to a group of people like this, or with that description? This name for our Lord teaches much to us about his character and his care. This was a testament of David that the Lord was not just a shepherd, but was his shepherd. David had placed himself under the control and ownership of the shepherd. John 10 and verse 9 says that our Lord is the door to the sheepfold, and if any enters through him, they will be saved and become a sheep of his pasture. And he will call us out by name and will go ahead and lead us. David, sometime in his life, had come and placed himself in faith and repentance underneath God's authority. And so he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And he made it a possessor. And if we have come and we are a child of God this morning, then we can make the same designation that he is my shepherd. He is the one that is guiding, directing. He is the one that calls me by name and leads me out and shows me those great pastures. And he is about that in my life. From this position, David states that he will not want. The direct translation would be, I shall lack nothing. Wow. To actually come to that place in the relationship, because he knew who God was, he had learned who God was, that he had spent time with him, he can make the statement, I shall not want, because he had gained an understanding about who his Lord was. And then also the aspect of the what being a shepherd meant as well. David had learned the life of a shepherd as he spent time with his sheep. And so he makes that metaphor here for us. He understands all the implications and all the pictures that come with that. He has the absolute confidence in the fact that he will not want. We are reminded of this fact again in Philippians 4 and verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe him when he states that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory? Do we understand, as David understood, about not wanting? David, through the use of a metaphor, explains how this works out in his life. He first of all says, I shall not lack rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So we see here in verse 2. Sheep do not lie down easily. It is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. Sheep will not lie down if they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. And only the shepherd can provide the trust, peace, deliverance, and pasture that is needed to be to free the sheep. With the Lord as our shepherd, there is rest. Now it's interesting that he begins his psalm here with this as the first item on the list. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What an aspect to begin with. But it's something that we are all looking for. And even if you've been following the news recently, they're stating that sleep is becoming a more and more important function, and they are understanding the importance of sleep in our lives and our daily lives. The importance of rest cannot be overstated. But with the Lord as our shepherd, there is rest. Matthew 11 and 28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And what's the next phrase? I will give you rest. Do you understand the implications and the the Lord is seeking to teach us? That it, with him, there is rest. And we can find it in him. Are you resting in Christ this morning? Have you found rest? Are you running about anxious, worried? Out of all the qualities that he could mention, the first here is of rest. And we can find that in him. He continues on and he says, I shall not lack life. Verse 3 states, he restores my soul. In the Hebrew idiom, the words restores my soul can mean brings to repentance. The word can also be translated as life. He restores my life. And God is about his sanctifying work in my life, according to Philippians 1 and verse 6. He which hath begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. That is what God is about in your life. He is seeking to establish himself in and through you and create that life in you. A principle in sheep herding is the idea of cast or cast down sheep. A heavy, fat, or long fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out and relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. In this position, gases build up in the body, cutting off circulation to the legs, and often it is only a matter of a few hours before the sheep dies. The only one who can restore the sheep to health is the shepherd. Sometimes we are like cast sheep. We are spiritually on our backs, quite helpless. And so we remember this instance with Peter there. Jesus came to him in his condition. And when Peter had denied him, even with oaths and cursing, and he sought to restore him in Matthew 26, 72 and 74. Too often when we get in those situations where we say, well, I've gone too far down the road, God isn't able in this situation. And this morning, God indeed is able. He is the shepherd. He is watching over the sheep. He has stated that he will not run when wild animals come, according to John chapter 10, because he is not a hireling. He is the owner of the sheep, and he watches over the sheep. And so if that is your situation this morning, God is still able. God is still about his work in your life. He continues on. He says, I shall not lack guidance. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Sheep are foolish creatures. They so easily wander away. They can be brought to the best grazing lands near an abundant supply of water, and they will wander away to where the fields are brown and the water is undrinkable. They're creatures of habit. They can be brought to good grazing land by their shepherd. They may keep on grazing until every blade of grass and every root is eaten. The fields are ruined and they themselves are impoverished. No other class of livestock requires more careful handling than do sheep. And then we come to Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. What a portrayal of sheep, that when God brings us to that rich grass, that great water supply, and what are we like? We wander away and we go astray from all that God sought to provide for us. And then fourthly, I shall not lack safety. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the verse primarily speaks to the shepherd's ability to protect his sheep in moments of danger. And Philip Keller points out the seasonal passage from the lowlands where sheep spend the winter through the valleys to the high pastures where they go in summer can be fraught with danger. The valleys are places of rich pasture and much water, but they are also places of danger. Wild animals lurk in the broken canyon walls. Sudden storms may sweep along the valley floors. There may be floods. Since the sun does not shine into the valley very well, there really are shadows, which at any moment may become shadows of death. It is important to note that the valley of the shadow of death is as much God's right path for us as the green pastures which lie beside quiet waters. Too often we are about seeking to find the easiest route to wherever that may be. And we want God to do the same in our lives as well. Lead me along the nice green pastures. Lead me beside the quiet waters. Let me avoid all the valleys. But it's in the valleys where we are taught some of the greatest principles of character and character development takes place. We know from Hebrews 13 and verse 5 where he states, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. If you're this morning going through valleys in your life or have gone through great valleys, we know and we can speak confidently when he states, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you. And so in the midst of those valleys, and we're experiencing the valleys of life, God often takes us through those valleys that we might learn how to rely upon him, and we might learn the role of the shepherd in my life. And that if I'm going to walk victoriously, then I'm going to have to walk close to the shepherd, that I might be able to, that he might have his eye on me, but that also he might be able to use that club when it's necessary as well. Christian life is not always tranquil, nor is it always a mountaintop experience. God gives us valleys as well. It is in the valleys with their trials and dangers that we develop character. The problem is fear. The answer for it is the shepherd's close presence, for he is the only one who protects the sheep and calms their anxieties. And the two tools of the shepherd bring comfort, the rod and the staff. The rod is more like a billy club carried on the person, and the staff is the walking stick of the shepherd, as well as the means of rescuing the straying sheep. The rod would be used to count the sheep, check for any skin issues on the sheep. It would also be used for giving discipline and taking care of any wild animals. And so then we come to Hebrews 12 and verse 6. He that the Lord loves, he disciplines. Do you appreciate the discipline the Lord gives? When God does bring discipline into our lives, we ask him, God, will you, when that time comes, will you discipline me? Is that a prayer that we actually pray? Or do we pray everything but that? Because the Lord disciplines who he loves. And it's a great indication of God's love for us when he seeks to bring discipline into our lives. Those times, there are occasions when we need God to discipline us. And we need to allow him the freedom to be able to do that. Both are described as providing comfort. We can comfort in the fact that in the midst of that discipline, I know my Father loves me. I know my Lord loves me. He's the shepherd of the sheep. I belong to him. I'm a member of his fold. He will lead me and he will call me out by name. When I'm seeking to head for danger, I have the constant assurance that he will pull me back, that he will correct me, and he has the freedom to be able to do that. It's also interesting, David switches from the third person pronoun to the second person you, which presents a more personable usage as well. He continues on, I shall not lack provision. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. The shepherd prepares the high tablelands or mesa where the sheep graze for the summer. A good shepherd will prepare these before the sheep arrive, removing physical hazards, destroying poisonous plants, and driving predators away. Ancient shepherds used a mixture of olive oil, sulfur, and spices to protect their sheep from insects and promote healing of infectious skin diseases. Oil and wine were highly valued in the dry, barren lands of the Near East. In Palestine, where the sun shines fiercely most of the year, the temperatures soar up into the hundreds. The skin becomes cracked and broken, and throats become parched. Oil soothes the skin, particularly the face. Wine clears the throat. And if we allow God to lead us where he will, we will find a table has been prepared for us. Our heads have been anointed with purest oil, and our cups have been filled to overflowing with the wine of pure joy. It's something that we can rest and rely in. Continuing on, sixthly, I shall not lack a heavenly home, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To have a sure home was always a desire of the nomadic people who occupied the area of Near East, bordered by the Mediterranean Sea, the Red Sea, and the great Arabian Desert. John 14, 2 and 3 states, or let me just read it this morning, John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have something to look forward to, that there's going to come a time when we will be forever with the Lord in his house and with him. And we can look forward with joy to that day coming. But do we ever look at it from God's standpoint that he is looking at it with even more joy to that time coming when his body will be complete, gathered together, and he can dwell with us and us with him. The psalm ends with the reference to the Lord as it opened for us. The reason we have hope in the statement, I shall not want, is because the Lord is our shepherd. He indwells every believer, but he also leads us out and goes before. We are called by name and has given his life for the sheep because he is not a hired hand, but the owner of the sheep. The path that David walked was not easy and was not all green pastures and still waters. There were many valleys of seeming shadow of death, but through it all he walked with confidence because he knew the shepherd. David could state what he did because he knew the shepherd. Do we know him today? Do we know the Lord as our shepherd? Do we see him as a shepherd? Do we understand that he is a shepherd in our lives? That he calls us out, and it's great that he calls us out by name. He knows our name individually. He deals with us individually. Do we know him? Are we experiencing the joy of being a part of his fold and his care, allowing him to lead us to the rich pastures of his presence and in his word? Those times when we talk to him, God, would you lead me to those rich grasslands? And would you allow me to be content in that? May I find contentment there? Is that the prayer of our lives? That we might see God as our shepherd? And that we might all understand what it means, I shall not want, and all that that pictures for us. Whether it be still waters or whether it be valleys, we have the confidence that he is there with us, leading and guiding and going before. Let's just this morning close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we're thankful for your word and trust indeed that you might grow our knowledge of who you are as we walk with you, may you draw us deeper into the truths and your character and the truth of you being our shepherd. That whether it be the fine waters or whether it be the valleys or whether it be fearful times, that you might give us the confidence to keep walking with you, going before as you lead us and as you teach us, you instruct us. And pray, Heavenly Father, that you might continue to use your rod and your staff in comforting us and all that that means in our lives. For we're praying this in your name. Amen.